I want to speak to you today when healing comes. I don't know about you, but my heart's been tugged this week a lot. There's ever been, how many believe America and the whole world needs a healing?
Yes.
Yeah. I want to preach to you about that this morning when healing comes. I hope I'll be an encouragement to you. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 and 2, let's stand. I'll read the first three verses, matter of fact, and near the end of my message, I'll come back to Revelation 22, 3. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 1. And he showed me a pure river. And he sings a song. Some of the people, there's a river. I'm glad there is. And Pastor Dave, last Sunday night, preached about that pure river. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the leaves of the tree, were for the healing of the nations. When I read that this week, it just got my heart. That they were for the healing of the nation. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, I'm glad one day there'll be no curse on this earth. And there will be healing for the nations. And Father, as I thought about the people this week and the condition of my church and the condition of my family and the condition of the world, I thought of a glorious day that was coming in the future when there would be healing, when there'd be no more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering. And Father, I pray today as you put things in my heart that kind of helped me through those really depressing hours that I was in. I pray, dear God, that I can be an encouragement to everyone here and maybe in the future for those that would listen to the internet and that would hear this tape. Help us to be a blessing to all that would come and hear. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I read these words this week. For the healing of the nation. And I thought, Brother Brian, oh how much. I thought, Billy, in my heart, oh how much do the nations of the world need healing. Think with me, folks. I mean the whole world. The whole world is filled with sadness, sorrow, sickness, disease, disasters, dilemmas, and ultimately death. And by the way, you can't go anywhere in the world because you can't escape it. I mean, I know there's a great problem in Haiti right now. And multi-thousands of people are going to die. But even when that passes, there'll be another place. There's nowhere to escape. Sorrow surrounds us. It surrounds every person in the world. Do you ever think about that? I mean, think with me. There are troubles and problems around every person on the globe of this earth. And it never ceases. This week, my heart went out to the people in Haiti. I've tried to watch it. I'll be honest with you. I try to keep up with things. But Arlene, I just had to turn the TV off and walk away. You read the record, Curry, and you see that little child. Haiti quakes. It's slow to arrive. Help is slow to arrive. Folks, there was no way people could get there fast. There was nothing there for them to go to. 50,000. There's going to be more than that. This I think this was in yesterday's paper. I saw the despair of the mom and the little girl. Haiti driven to the edge of despair. Fear and anger growing as help trickles in slowly for some. They have no government there. They have a fake government, but there's no infrastructure there. And so when this tragedy happened, when this disaster happened, there was nothing there in place. They have no running water, no electric, no. There's no agencies like we have, FEMA and stuff like. They have nothing there. So if the outside world doesn't come in, they had nothing. And then, Brother Mike, when you see those homes and the buildings are all destroyed. I mean, this is in 60 years of living, to me, that I can recall, and I've seen some major disasters. This has to be one of the greatest disasters I've ever seen in my entire life. I know America's had things, but we have people, we have structure in place, Brother Bud, that we can have agencies go to them and help people. But they have nothing there. And then you have that one little airport, and they're trying to get, and everything's clogged in. And then, and once they get there, they've got food and water, but then they have no way to distribute it. No roads. I mean, no big equipment. I mean, folks, you got to understand what's going on in Haiti right now. And there's a lot of suffering right now. I watched Fox and CNN and different things, and they show those little children dying and in pain and no one to give them medical attention. It just rips my heart. I saw a man. He had his daughter over there in one of the motels or whatever they have there, and I guess a bunch of the kids was for. They still haven't found her. I seen a mama who lost all four of her children in shock. And that's, folks, you got to understand, there's millions of people. You're going to see into the thousands. There could be over 100,000 people die. Can you imagine that? And I thought about that this week, and I don't know, it troubled me. You know what? How many know what I'm saying today? Even my own church, Frank and Judy lost their sister. Jimmy Furness is struggling to live. By the way, I was at their home yesterday. Thank you, church. God bless Bethel Baptist Church. He had a stack of cards from you. I put a plea out you to send cards. I'm not making this up. I think that stack had to be 4 or 5 inches high of cards. Thank you. Thank you for caring. My own personal things. Preacher had the problem with his jaw, with the abscess tooth, and they had that pulled out this week, and then before we left that morning, little Lukey had to go get a root canal, and me and Rosie prayed for him, and Rosie was crying. We were our little grandson with the root canal at 6 years old. Natalie had to have her braces. I mean, can you imagine what goes on in people's lives? Arlene's going to have surgery this week. Katie Freimeyer had surgery this week on her shoulder, the pain she's in, suffering. How many are still with me? I think, folks, I think of all the people that are suffering and hurting in our church. Some people, they're homesick even to this day. I know about Brother Jack. Happy Jack, I can't think of his last name. Jack Smith, one of our ABL people, he's in the hospital right now. And what I'm saying is the suffering and the pain and the heartache never stops. I've seen little children die. I've been by people I've watched my mama when she went down to 60 pounds, Brother Mike, with cancer. I mean, look up here, folks. The world's filled with suffering. Brother Billy's here today, but he was sick last week. Annie's here, I'm glad. But she's had a month or so sick. Sue Vance is here today, but she had both arms tied up there for a while, two wrists. pacemakers being put in people. It just never ends, does it? You know, we have a world that knows nothing but suffering. Do you ever think about that? Annie's here today, but she's been in all kinds of pain. Brother Bobby's here today. He's been going through things with cancer. I could just tell you person after person in this church. Eddie Brotherton, but he's had the gout there for 2 or 3 weeks, and now he's doing better. You ever think about this? I want you to think with me. I want to give you a truth today. Did you ever notice the world in my life, in your family's life, in our church, and everyone on the globe is continually faced with sorrow, with heartaches? How many are with me? And they never end. We prayed for your son last week. I've been praying for a little boy named Jacob. And if I'm praying that God does something for his life. You know what, folks? Look up here. You got to get this. I see a mama right now lost her daughter not too long ago. It's hard. There's so many heartaches in life. Suffering in life. How many know what preacher's talking about? It's not just Haiti. It's your family, my family, and all the world. And you know what? They're crying out in Haiti today. But I'm going to tell you, they're crying in other places too. And can I tell you something? Until Jesus comes back, the tears are going to keep on flowing. I said this week, my Lord, make it stop. Lord God, make it end. And then he said, hey, preacher, look up. Someday it's going to end. Someday there will be healing for all people. Can anyone say amen? Amen. And I thought about Adam and Eve. And I want you to get this. This has helped me. Years ago, I had a Bible teacher teach me this. And it really helped me through life. Think about Adam and Eve. They lived in a perfect paradise. We think of paradise. We think of Hawaii and Maui and, man. I mean, we think that's paradise. And it's probably, Josh, I've been to Hawaii and I've been to Maui now. And as far as the world goes today, it's probably the closest thing to paradise as you can get. Average temperature is around 75, 77 degrees there every day of the year. But it's still not a perfect paradise because they still have problems. But I want you to get this. You got to get this. I'm going to try to help you today because God's helped me through this. Because I'll be honest with you, I've seen a lot of heartache and suffering this week. And I get depressed sometimes. How many ever get depressed? How many ever get discouraged? And I just think, oh God, please make it end. How many have ever said, oh God, please make it end? Suffering and sacrifice of people. And I thought about Adam and Eve. Think with me now. Just, you got to get this thought. If I can give you this truth, it'll help you. Think with me about Adam and Eve before the fall. Adam and Eve lived in a perfect climate, in a perfect place. They knew no sorrow. They knew no pain. They knew no anxieties. I noted this. They lived in a perfect climate. They were void of any bad elements of weather. No snowstorms. No ice. No floods. No extreme hot. No extreme cold. No hurricanes. No tornadoes. No earthquakes. No tidal waves. No tsunamis. No ultra sun rays that dry up our skin and give us cancer. and no global warming, Mr. Gore would love that. Mr. Gore, who created the computer and invented everything, he would have loved that. It's like he invented global warming. If you believe in global warming, I want to sell your bridge in Brooklyn. Think with me now. Can you imagine living like Adam and Eve? I'm talking about before the fall. The earth, think about this. The earth was probably, first of all, the earth didn't look like it did today. You study that. I've been studying it. Mike, the earth probably was mostly, and by the way, it wasn't all water like it is today. Probably 80% probably the earth was ground, would be like trees and vegetation. Are you with me? And can you imagine the Garden of Eden? No one's life was ever threatened. Eve's life wasn't threatened. Adam's life wasn't threatened. And either were the animals. Because the animals and Eve and Adam, they all ate seeds and herbs. And I'm not a vegetarian, and I'm not telling you to be one. I'm just telling you how it was. I want you to turn to Genesis with me. And I'm going somewhere with this. If you'll give me just a few to lay a foundation, I'll help you. I promise I will. You got to understand where man was and where man went and where we're going again. Look at Genesis chapter 1 and look at verse 29 and 30. And God said, behold, I have given you, I'm in Genesis chapter 1. God said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree that's in which the fruit of the tree yielded seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given them every green herb for meat. And it was so Adam and Eve and all the animals, by the way, there were dinosaurs back then. And Adam and Eve didn't have to worry about a dinosaur killing them. Because dinosaurs, hey, listen up here, kids, teenagers, listen up here. Dinosaurs weren't a threat to Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve wasn't a threat to them because everybody ate seeds and herbs. There were lions back then, and there were bears. And they didn't kill the lamb because nothing hurt each other. Can you imagine that? Hello? Look up. You got to get this. See, there was a canopy around the earth. God had like a canopy of water and stuff around the earth. And so no ultra sun rays got through. It was a paradise. Are you with me? And they had a paradise where there was never no threat to their life. No doubt, Adam and Eve might have played with dinosaurs. Fetch, buddy, fetch. Like we do our dog. Fetch. You say, I don't believe that. Well, you stay in Genesis, but let me quote you a scripture from Isaiah. Because God says one day it's going to be like that again. Isaiah 65, chapter 65, verse 25 says this, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. The dust shall be the serpent's meat, and they shall not. This was Annie. This scripture was in my heart all this week. This made me want to preach this message. They shall. I'm in Isaiah 65:25, but stay in Genesis. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now. Adam and Eve lived in a perfect paradise, and one day God's going to restore that paradise. Folks, before the flood came, before the fall, I'm going to tell you right now, this earth was phenomenal. Are you still with me? And then after the fall, and then the flood came, the waters from heaven came down, but they only came down for 40 days. The Bible says the fountains of the deep broke. There was water inside the earth, and God opened up the earth, and the water. That's why the Bible says the water came. They kept it going. And in Genesis, it says in Genesis 7, it says that it kept exceeding for 150 days. You say, how did we get these continents? When the earth, when God gushed that water up from underneath that was inside the earth, and brought the water that was down above the earth, the continents broke. That's how you got the breaking of the continents. Hello? How many are still with me? See, they never even ate meat till after the flood. Hello? But before the fall, there nothing was ever killed and nothing was ever destroyed. And everything lived in a perfect pair. And there was no snow. Aunt Lizzie never had to call church out because there's come to church, perfect. I'd like to be a weatherman that back then. Tomorrow, perfect. 100%, the next 25 years, 100% chance of perfectness. Can you? I'd like to be a weatherman. They'd love the weatherman back then. You can never be wrong. Turn on the weather channel. Perfect today, all day. Perfect day, perfect. We're going to plan a picnic. What's it going to be like? Oh, it's going to be perfect that day. No chance of storm. How many are still with me? Folks, that's the kind of world Adam and Eve lived in. I'll tell you. And not until Genesis 9:3, after the flood, did people start eating meat. And then before the flood and before the fall, there was perfect. Now, get this. Now, none of these things would have never happened or occurred if Adam would not have sinned in the Garden of Eden. Listen to this. And I taught this on Wednesday. I taught some of the stuff. Adam, by sinning, Brother Mike, he brought a curse. You got to get this. Man, you got to get this. You understand why my mama died of cancer and went down to 60 pounds. You understand why they had a... See, by the way, I know there's religious leaders making statements. Sometimes we make statements we ought not make. Mr. Robinson, I guarantee, would not like to make that retract that statement that he said. Talked about them giving them soul to the devil. By the way, there would have been earthquakes since the fall. There's going to be earthquakes. Hades' earthquake didn't stem from the devil, from making a pact with the devil. Hades' earthquakes stemmed from back in Genesis chapter 3 when the fall came and God put a curse on the whole world. Are you still with me? Look, I want you to look at me. Look at Genesis chapter 3. When Adam fell and brought sin into the world, look what God pronounced judgment. Look at 3:14. I want you to see something here. If you can get this, I've accomplished what I wanted to do today. And then I'm going to show you some wonderful things. I'm laying a foundation to give you a great truth. And the Lord God said, are you in Genesis 3:14? This is after the fall. And the Lord God said to the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou be, and dust thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put, this is the first prophecy of Jesus coming, by the way. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Jesus, the seed of, I'm here with me. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise its heel. Amen. Head wounds are deadly. Amen. Look at verse 16. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow. Yeah, because, you know, Eve, you shouldn't have listened to Satan. She was deceived. Adam wasn't. But listen, ladies. Unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception and sorrow. Thou shalt bring forth children. That's why you get to have the babies. And thy desire shall be thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, has eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is, are you with me in verse 17? Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also, thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. And in the sweat of thy face thou shalt eat bread, till thou shalt return unto the ground. For out of it was thou hast taken from dust, and thou art unto dust thou shalt return. I'm going to tell you right now, God brought judgment on man. And from that day forward, look up here. Prior to that, Lizzie, man never knew sorrow. Man never knew heartache. Man never knew evil. Are you still with me? There never was a bad day before this. But after they fell, Brother Mike, God pronounced judgment. But by the way, did you notice? He just didn't put judgment on man by himself. He put judgment on the ground. He put judgment on Satan. He put judgment on the creation. He put judgment on the trees, the plants, and the animals. The whole world, you got to get this. Hades going through something, but it isn't because of what they, if they did and made a pact or not with Satan. This stems from way back in the Garden of Eden, when God put a judgment and a curse on the earth and the people and the creation. Are you still with me? How many are still with me? And Grandma, from that day forward, from Genesis 3:15, Billy, from Genesis 3:14 through 19, from that day forward, this world has known sorrow, heartache, tragedy, storms, all evil, death, and it's going to keep, listen, it's going to keep knowing it until the day the curse is taken off. Can I show you something in Scripture? Look at Romans chapter 8. Ooh, I like this. I like my book of Romans. Romans, lend me your ear. Look at Romans chapter 8. Not just man, but all the creation. Look up here for one moment. Turn to Romans 8, and then I'm going to say something to you. Then we're going to read. How many ever heard the statement, the blessed hope? I'm going to read you what that blessed hope is coming up here. But do you know, Dee, not just us has a blessed hope. Did you know that the trees and the animals and the plants, they can't wait for your blessed hope? You're right, Romans. The world is waiting for God to give us our redemption. Because, Billy, when we get redeemed, so do they. Read with me. I haven't lost my rocker. Look at Romans 8:18. Now, Paul is from the south. He was a southerner. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, boy, we know suffering, don't we? How many know suffering? Marty, he's a proud grandpa. And he's got a little grandson with him now. He's at home, and he's a little sailor boy. He's just a dandy. But before he came out, his daughter had to have pain before that baby was delivered. How many are still with me? And we're a lot of picture like your grandson. We're going to be in travail and pain before we're delivered. How many are with me? For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed. You ask Marty's daughter, hey, was that baby worth all the pain having? Oh, you ain't kidding me. I'd go through 1,000 pain to have that baby again. That baby's worth it all. Well, Billy, all the suffering we're going through right now in this life, when we get delivered, we'll say, man, it's worth it. It's worth being in glory. Amen? For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. Which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature, waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. How many see that? For the creature was made subject to vanity, and not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into glorious liberty of the children of God. When we get delivered, that lion and that bear is going to get delivered too. For we know, well, I'm glad God lets us know things. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Hallelujah! One day we're going to be taken out of this pain of suffering. We're going to be taken out of this pain of heartache. One day this life of all these sorrows and earthquakes and tragedies, it's going to pass. Jimmy Furness is laying in a bed now, striving just to take a breath, fighting for life, and one day he won't have that struggle. One day he'll have a brand new glorious body. One day Judy won't have to stand by the bedside of her husband, hoping he can take another breath. One day he'll be set free, and so we'll all of us be set free. We won't have to worry about people dying. Amen? For the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we have seen not, then we do with patience wait for it. Look up here, folks. Brian is saying this. You're going to suffer. Miss Karen, you're going to go through heartache and sorrow and pain and agony. But don't give up. Because one day, I'm going to deliver you from that. One day there's not going to be a Haiti. One day there's not going to be a tsunami. Are you still with me? One day you're not going to lose your daughter. By the way, Christians don't die. They're just going to be with the Lord. Be absent from the bodies, be present with the Lord. Are you still with me, church? But did you notice when we read that? Not just the Christians, but the world, the creation. The creation wants the rapture to happen, Mark. The creation, Brother Brian, the creation can't wait till we get our redemption, because they get blessed within our blessing. Now watch. Stay in Romans. Are you still in Romans? One man, Adam, that dirty, no good, little dirty dog. One man, 6,000 years ago, brought a curse on the whole human race. One man, back in the Garden of Eden, approximately 6,000 years ago, brought a curse on the whole human race. Look at Romans 5:12. You're in Romans. Look at Romans 5:12. That's why you got this devastation in Haiti. If you didn't have sin, look up. You got to get this. If sin would have never came in, Haiti would have never had an earthquake. If they never have an earthquake, all these people don't die. All the suffering's removed. Hello? How many understand what I'm trying to show you? Romans 5:12. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, that dirty dog, Adam. He's in heaven too. He got redeemed. But when I get to see him, I'm glad God's going to make me forget everything in this one. I like to jack his jaw. Well, you know I'm seeing that. Wherefore, it's by one man sin in the world, and death by sin. So because that dirty devil, dog, rat, Adam, so death passed upon all men, for they all sin. He passed the old sin nature down. Are you with me? But just on the counterpart, one man brought the whole world into condemnation and suffering and cursed. One man brought a curse. One man named Jesus is going to remove the curse. One man brought death and sorrow. One man brought eternal life and freedom forever. Look at verse 17. Romans 5. For if by one man's offense, that dirty dog, rat, Adam. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more than they which received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men into justification. One brought us one brought condemnation, one brought justification. I like that. One brought a curse, one brought a blessing. One brought death, one brought eternal life. One brought continued sorrow, one brought continued peace and joy and happiness. One put in bondage, one set free. For as one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Can anyone say amen? Amen. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Yeah, he trumped it. He went over it. Okay, I see that and I'll go over you with grace. Amen? That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by the local church. Nope. By baptism. Nope. By being a good person. Nope. By Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah for Jesus. You got to get this. Adam brought a curse. Jesus, not only is he going to remove the curse, but Jesus, the Bible says, became a curse for us. I'm going to just quote you. Galatians 3:13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ hung on Calvary's tree, up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn. Walk Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross, that he might save us from endless loss. Precious Redeemer. Amen? Listen, because of what Christ did, he gave me a new hope. Remember that hope we read about? Remember the hope we read about in Romans chapter 8, verse 23 and 25? How many remember that? That's the hope that Christ brings. I'm looking forward to the day when God's going to take us and remove us forever from the pains of sorrow and death in this cursed world. Look at a couple more scriptures and I promise I'll close. Look at Revelation chapter 21. See, the reason people die is because of this, it came from the curse. Look at Revelation 21:4. The reason there's storms, the reason there's cancer and diseases, it all comes from that, stems out of the Garden of Eden because of the fall. Folks, don't blame Jesus. Blame Adam. He's the one that brought it on us. All that's bad, he brought it on. You got to get this. But did you know a lot of good's coming in the future? One brought a curse, one's taking the curse off. One brought eternal death, one's bringing eternal life. One brought eternal condemnation, one's bringing eternal justification. How many are with me? How many like to live in that paradise? How many like to live in the paradise that Adam and Eve once knew? Did you know God's going to restore that again? Betty and John and Emma and Rich, one day God's going to restore that. Mark, we're going to go to a place where there's no more ice, no more snow, no more sleet. Hello? No more scraping windows. No more No more extreme hot. No more tornadoes. No more cancer. No more heartaches. No more strokes. No more infected tooth. No more diabetes. Can I keep going? I'm not going to preach another grave. I'm not going to preach another funeral. I've had to stand by wives when their husband died. I've had to stand by husbands when their wives died. I've had to stand by parents when their children died. I felt it. I've had to see people go through surgeries and heartaches. And oh, how it puts a strain. That's why you need to pray for the men of God, because even though you don't understand, all your hurt, we take it in. We're not special, but I'm just saying that's the ministry God's called us to. So we when you hurt, believe it or not, preacher hurts, you don't not think, but I think about you. One day, Bud and Marty aren't going to have to be sick again. Bud, you and I can play ball again, too. We can run with the kids then, too, Bud. Matter of fact, I think we're going to outplay him again, Bud. Because we're going to have our bodies renewed again. We'll get them. Look at 21:4. Folks, this is going to happen. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's what he told me this week, Brian. I took the TV and turned it on. I said, I can't watch it no more. I can't see those babies suffering no more. He said, one day, you're not going to have to watch that. One day, I'm going to remove you from all this. And I'm going to remove all your people from it. And one day, you're not going to have to worry, because there's not going to be no more suffering. You're not going to stand by your mom and watch her die of cancer. You're going to see her up in heaven, jumping up and down, saying glory to praise the Lord and the Lamb. Amen. God, swipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Can anyone say amen? Amen. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Hallelujah. These aren't made up. It's really going to happen. Amen. Look at 22:3. I read to you verse 1 and 2. How there's going to be healing for the nations. Look at 22:3, and I'm going to stop. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Don't give up. I know it's heartache. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to cry a lot more before it's over. Betty, we're going to have a lot more heartache in our life before it's all over. Your kids are going to go through things, and you and Mark are going to say, oh, God, please. And I hope it doesn't happen. I hope you're younger, and I hope the rapture happens before your mom and daddy die, but you might have to see your mom and daddy die and go through that heartache that I've went through. Boy, aren't you glad, even if they do, they're going to be with the Lord? Brian, one day, God said, do you remember how Adam and Eve had it back in the paradise? You've got that to look forward to. You're going to a place, if you're saved, you got to be saved. Now, if you've never been born again, you don't have this hope. Matter of fact, you just got eternal judgment and sorrow, agony and pain for all eternity. Can you imagine that? And by the way, if you die without Christ, this earth is a paradise compared to what you're going to go in eternity. But one day, for those that are saved, we're going to a place where there's never going to be another tear. I was with Mike and Darla. Joshie fell and got hurt not too long ago. Boy, we both were worried. When long ago the little girl was sick, and Amelia, and boy, we were there, worried. Boy, they put gray hairs on your head, don't they? One day, Mike and Mel, not got to worry about the kids no more. Not got to say goodbye to Grandpa no more. Grandpa Lemley. But we're gonna be with him. And he's gonna get to tell me jokes for eternity. It's gonna be so exciting. Can you imagine all the new ones he's gonna learn? I wanted to hold on to Grandpa, but God said no. I remember when Melinda Lamb died. I said, no, God, I don't want to let her go. And God said, no, she's going to go. And I remember the hurt and the anguish. I remember when the babies died, how the emptiness and void. Little Madison, I remember those things. You can't believe the valleys of darkness I walked through at those times. But God told me, keep walking. One day, you're going to walk into a place called paradise. And all these things will be forever past. And you'll no longer know sorrow and heartache. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for the promise of the hope of glory. Lord, I'm glad one day, Lord, I'm glad you loved us enough to take the curse off. Can't imagine being eternity but cursed. I'm glad for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that you came to take the curse off of us and to set us free. Lord, I have to admit sometimes it's sure hard going through this whole life. I'm sure glad you gave me that King James Bible that gives me hope, that gives me comfort, that gives me strength. It gives me courage and strength to face each day. And Lord, I'm looking forward to that day when you take us out of here. Oh God, what a glorious day that's going to be. I'll be glad to step out of time and into eternity, where I don't have to worry about my grandbabies ever being hurt or being hungry or dying, where I don't have to see any of my family or my church members or my friends suffer, where I never have to go to a hospital for a surgery or preach a funeral, or I don't have to see on TV thousands of people in destitute, really, without hope. I'm glad there's going to be a day. We have a glorious hope, the redemption of our bodies into a place called paradise, a heaven. I hope everyone here doesn't miss that. It's bad enough on this side. Lord, I hate to see anyone leave this world and go out to eternity of damnation, especially when you could have paradise in the future with Christ. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say, preacher, I know for sure. I saw myself a lost sinner one day, and I trusted Christ as my Savior. Could you raise that hand? I know Christ is my, I know if I die, I'd go to heaven. Thank you. You may put it down. Maybe you heard you've never trusted Christ. You'd say, I'd like to trust Jesus today. Pray for me. Anyone like that? Raise your hand. Pray for me. Not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Maybe you're here today and you've lost a loved one. Maybe you've lost a baby. Maybe you've lost a parent. Maybe you've lost a good friend. Maybe you're hurting right now. I want to tell you today, Jesus told me to tell you, there's a better day coming. There's a place where nothing's going to hurt in His holy mountain. There's a time when He's going to take the curse off. And you're going to get to walk in the splendor of heaven, where eye hath not seen and nor ear heard, or nothing's entered the heart which God had prepared for them that love Him. Don't give up, Christian. I know this life is hard sometimes. I know it's hard. And there sure is a lot of sorrow. And there's a lot of suffering. And it's really going to keep that way until Jesus comes. Don't give up. Because one day we got a place where there'll never be a storm cloud or any suffering or any sadness or any sorrow. And there'll never be death. It's a place called heaven. Look forward to that. It's a promise from God Almighty. Heavenly Father, I know there's a lot of people here today that are hurting. They've lost children. They've lost parents. They've lost family members. Maybe they're going through some major illness or sickness, or they're facing some kind of dilemma. I pray that You'll come down and put Your arms around them right now, Father. Hug them like You did me this week. I really needed that hug. I need that hug all the time. I need to feel that warmth and love of God and encouragement that one day it'll all be over. One day we've got a great day in store for us. Help them. Help them today. Be the lifter up of their heart. Be the encourager of their heart. Bless them, my God, as only You can. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Stand with me. We'll sing a verse. You want to come and pray? You come. Anyway, God speaks to your heart, you come.